But I'll tell you a little bit about, you know, we've been missionaries, and we've been probably in over 400 churches around the country and around the world, going in preaching. And so going in for a Sunday to preach is really very normal for me. But this is a lot different. Usually when I go in to preach, I'm going in for one day and I leave and I'm not ever worrying about, you know, I mean, you know, I want to raise support, but, you know, a lot of times it's always an experience. You're like, I wonder what this one's going to be like, you know, and leave and think, whew, glad we're on the road, you know. Or, you know, hopefully there's more that are like, well, that was a blessing, you know, and that type of thing. But so I determined this week to pull out some of my best messages for you that I've had through the years. No, I'm kidding. What you're going to get today is what I would preach any given Sunday at church we're at. And so it's all fresh. I'm a fresh preacher. That's what I want. I want something that the Lord's going to speak to me. And so this is what you get is what you always get. And so some of you already think, I'm just going to let you know, I started using this tablet to read my notes. One year we were going up to Washington State. We flew up there and I thought, how am I going to prepare and all this? And so I started using that, and I found now as I've started to get a little bit less young, just really this past couple of years, my vision, my eyes don't focus as well. And so in this thing, I can make it bigger. I still read the Bible. I like the Bible on paper best I can. I also understand folks use it on and whatever they're going to use. I forgot my glasses. My wife has them. I think I'm going to be all right. It's different day to day. I'm in that stage that one day I'm going to need the glasses all the time, but I'm going to resist them as long as I can. Because when I'm looking through them, I look up, then the next thing I know, I'm a little dizzy, so I just try to stick. We're going to be in James chapter 1 this morning. James in chapter 1. You know, it's a really interesting, like I said, as a missionary, I'd come into a church and I would just preach on missions everywhere, and that was expected, and it was kind of an easy go-to. When I'm going to come to be here one service, I've been preached revival meetings, and I'm thinking I'm going to preach through a series on something, and that's also kind of, you're developing that, but here just a one-off is a little bit interesting, so we're just going to go through some things and see what the Lord would have for us. James chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Let's pray together as we get started this morning. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, you've been good, and Lord, we can hope and trust and plan on you to continue to be good to us. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, I pray that you would give us a willingness to receive your truth. Lord, pray that you'd help us as we present it in a way that would be a blessing and encouragement, Lord, that we might draw closer to you and see your purpose and your plan. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about number one. I don't always have points, but I will some this morning. Number one is this strange behavior. This is one of the strangest concepts in all of the Bible. It really is. It's really maybe in all of human comprehension. This one that you find joy in trials, right? There's a lot of things that I imagine, I think about that I imagine that would bring me joy in my life. You know, a good cup of coffee. Amen. Right? We came on our way. We stopped at a McDonald's. I couldn't tell you where, someplace up here. I don't know where I'm at. But someplace we stopped at McDonald's. We went in there. We're going to order off this kiosk. We're ordering. And I'm going. I'm looking. And I'm not great with that stuff, to be honest. And so we'd have a thing. We'd go to McDonald's Sunday nights a lot of times. And myself and another fellow were there, and we're seeing who can try to finish our order on the app the fastest, and neither one of us are fast. It's usually who's the longest. So anyway, I'm typing this, putting this in, and getting this, and my wife said, "It says no coffee." I thought, okay, that must be this McDonald's. Must be this. I went up to the counter. I said, "Don't have coffee?" And the little girl at the counter, she's like, "Yes, she didn't know." So we went back to ask the manager. "Yeah, we don't have no coffee, just iced coffee." So we had to leave and go find another McDonald's. And the other one had coffee. So that brought me joy, right? A good cup of coffee brings me joy. A piece of chocolate cake, that brings me joy. My team winning, that, whatever, it doesn't matter what my team is. You know, it's my team playing cards. It brings me joy. A visitor that I invited coming to church. I can remember the very first visitor that I ever invited that came to church. I was like a little school kid. You know what I mean? I went and told my pastor, and I went, "Hey, they're here." And I was just so, that's exciting. That brings me joy. A sinner repenting and trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior, that brings me joy. A new believer following the Lord in baptism, right? That brings me joy. But nowhere on my list that could just keep going, right? A lot of things that would bring me joy. That key lime pie, right? That, still thinking about that one. Nowhere on that list of things that would bring me joy would I find the place to put various trying events and situations that are going to be difficult. You understand what I'm saying? This is the strange. It's a strange idea, but it's a theme that runs through the New Testament. So we're going to flip a little bit. If you got one of these strings to keep your place there, or a card or something, but we're going to flip a little bit on a few places. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. What I want us to just see is, of course, we already maybe are aware of this, but it's good to be refreshed in that this isn't just a one-off concept. It's what the Lord talked about here in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 10, he said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So there's blessed. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And in verse 22, he said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." What a blessing, right? I love it when people hate me. You ever said that? Man, I'm so glad. Whew. I came to church this morning and everybody was saying mean things. They all hate me. It was just a blessing. Right? You know what I mean? Anyhow, where am I? Verse 22. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Man, blessed. What a blessing. Nobody wants to be my friend. Acts chapter 5. Acts in chapter 5. I am not a fast Bible player. I've never won sword drills. You know, and so I've just, and I haven't got any better. I know where they're at. I just, the pages stay. It's not my fault. It's the Bible. Okay, thank you. Thanks you for getting that I'm joking. All right. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. It said, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame." 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 10. It says, "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong." And then Philippians chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 17. It says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And then finally, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, "Now, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the affliction of Christ in my flesh for this body's sake, which is the church." So, what I want us to see there is this isn't just one passage. It's throughout. It continues throughout the New Testament, this concept that there's joy in trials and tribulations. The joy really, though, and it's a strange thing. Nobody really says this like they say in the Scriptures. At the beginning, things are going like, "Man, I'm so glad I've been afflicted, right? So glad I've been afflicted with this disease that I can't walk really well. So glad I got this arthritis and I can tell when the weather changes, right? I mean, it's just a blessing, you know. I mean, blessed. I mean, nobody wants to talk to me. They all hate me. They've cast me out. They reproach me. It's just, I'm so excited about this." And can you imagine getting together? It's a blessing, man. Life is terrible. And then, aren't you glad? Yeah, what about you? Yeah, my life is terrible too. You know, you'd say, "Man, I don't want to hang out with those people." You know what I mean? And so there's more to it, okay? There's the joy isn't really because of the temptation, okay? It's not really, "Wow, that's exciting." But it's what the temptation brings. Look at verse 3, back in James chapter 1. And in verse 3, he goes on, he says, knowing this. So what he says is, "I take joy in these things, knowing this." Okay, there's a knowledge that comes with that. By the way, without that knowledge, the joy doesn't come. Right? And when I mean that knowledge, I mean keeping it in mind, remembering it, when these difficulties, these trials, and... Brother here said this morning, he said, "You know, I know God's got something for me because I've had cancer 3 times. Right? I know God's got something for me, right? We're thinking through something. We know this thing, right? God is doing something. It's not just trouble. And when we know that, that's when we can have this. And he says, verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." You know, so the second thing here is this. The patience... the patience building trials is what this is. There's an old saying that says something like this: "Don't ask God to give you patience." Right? "God, I need more patience." Like, well, step away from that guy. You know what I mean? Because it's going to come. Because that's how God brings patience in our life, is through these things. But this is where we find the joy of the trials. There's dividends, right? There's the trying of your faith through the temptations produces something in us. It does something in us. I personally wish it were easier. Less painful, right? I wish there was a less painful way to get this characteristic of patience. Why do I got to go through hurt? And difficulties. And by the way, the hurt isn't always physical. Often the hurt is emotional, right? It's, you know, you see a kid cry, and I get that, or being upset, I get that. He said, "I'm afraid I'm going to fail." I'm like that too. I don't think I'd be considered a perfectionist. But I'm thinking, when he said that, I'm thinking, this little kid, I'm thinking, man, it's same way. You know, I'm thinking, wow, don't we all kind of, and I don't... you know, I wish there was an easier way to get to this thing of patience. You know, like study. I like to study. Study is fun. And, it, you know, maybe can I just get some patience by studying? Maybe through prayer. Maybe I'll pray through to get patience. You know, maybe I could just sleep on my Bible. Right? Osmosis, it'll come in and I wake up more patient. Right? You know, less painful ways. But none of these things are the way that we receive patience. And God has seen fit to develop, or as it says here, worketh patience in our lives through the trying of our faith. That's how God's seen fit to do this. And that's His plan. So all this, to me, begs the question, why do I need patience anyway? Is that me? Somebody else, probably. Okay. Just kidding back there. Do I really need this? I mean, something that's so challenging to acquire, do I really want it? Right? You have to say, okay, this is great. If you're going to get this thing, you're going to have to go through some trials, some difficulties, some challenges, some things that are going to try you. And you're thinking, you know what? I'm going to get in the other line. I want to get in the short line. You know what I mean? I want to get in the line where that doesn't have to come. I mean, this is the question is really, do I need patience? And that's the thing. Can I just skip the trials? Skip the patience and just go on for Jesus without it? That's a good plan, isn't it? You see, you're getting to see how my mind works a little bit, right? You're seeing how I think a little bit. I'm a proponent of the work smarter, not harder philosophy. Let's think about it and do it right rather than running in and working hard and then you step back and like, okay, now, you know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking, how about I just skip the hard stuff, the pain, and just, you know, go without this. So maybe just skip the one little thing of patience and really move forward in my Christian life without it. And, you know, here's the thing. Other people are good at patience, right? Let them be the patient ones, and I'll be the one that, you know, doesn't have it and go on from there. And that's why cut and paste Christianity doesn't work very well. When we take one verse and come over here and put that together, and we can build a good message out of it, but we don't really build a biblical concept. Do you understand? We have to do more than pull out one verse at a time. We have to see what he's, as he continues, and notice the real value of patience. Look at verse 4. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we get to the third thing here, is the perfecting patience. Patience isn't just an additional character to kind of round out our Christian life. It isn't just the ability to endure annoying people, right? That's what we think patience is. You've been so patient with them, right? You know, the long line at Walmart. You ever wonder why they have all those now? You ever go to like Walmart now and you think, can somebody just check me out? I don't know where it is here, but there's nobody actually working it. There's one person on their cell phone working the 6th self-check. And you're just like, can somebody help me? And you just say, you're thinking to yourself, I just need to have this. That's, it's not really this. You know, kids that won't quit, you know, mommy, 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 mommy. You're like, oh, I need to, you know, and you go to your happy place, right? Others are like this. You know, my grandma is so patient. This kind of thinking. No, she's tired. She turned her hearing aid off. It's not the same thing as patient. Do you understand? That's not what this is talking about here. That's kind of sometimes how we think. Patience, as found here, is really it's a steadfast consistency. It's a constancy and continuing. Man, this thing does not work. I give up. Okay. Patience is not to be swerved from our purpose. Even when there are trials, challenges, and difficulties that try to dissuade us. See, there's a way that God wants us to be in, and along the road, there's an enemy. Right? There's an enemy. It's kind of like, you know, when I was in eighth grade, right before eighth grade, we moved to Texas. I was born in Iowa, moved to eighth grade, I moved to Texas. And in Texas, football is a religion. I mean, I thought, okay, I'll go out for football. I wasn't raised with my dad, so I knew nothing about football. And so I thought, okay, I'll go try out. We started in the summer before school started practicing. And, you know, it's about the same climate as here, you know, 2 days in the summer. I'm like, yeah, this is great. And so they have this thing where you go through and you run through and everybody is trying to knock you down and you're supposed to get through it. Like, why? You know, can I just go around? Anyway, there's this, but this is kind of how the Christian life is at times. We're going through, there's an enemy trying to, and sometimes what we'll do and often what we'll do is we'll, when a little resistance comes, we want to kind of back out of that thing. We want to really be dissuaded. We want to swerve and go to a different direction. And so this thing of patience is this, to say, I'm going to keep going through the trials. So this is the characteristic of God that God uses to perfect us. So what he says there in verse 4, he says, but let patience have her perfect work. You see, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that there's nothing lacking in your life. This is where the maturing process comes from. So you want to go through life without patience? That's what we call an immature Christian. Right? You want to go without trials? Listen, we don't grow closer to someone by standing at a distance and reading about their accomplishments and sorrows. Right? But by being there with them, together with them, right? And in the midst with them and getting to experience that with them. An athlete doesn't grow in his ability by lifting, you know, 2-pound dumbbells. Man, this is easy. Right? I'm good at this. I can do 8 now. You know what I'm saying? You know, and you don't, you think, man, this guy's going to be great. You know, he or she, whatever the athlete, has to break down that muscle so they can be rebuilt stronger. You know what they understand? I'm going to survive this pain. I used to run. I'm not a runner, but I used to run. Jog. I never really ran. My best ever was like a 10-minute mile. I mean, that's I'm not built for running. You understand what I'm saying? But I was trying to get in shape, and I was trying to do this. You know, we were training for 5Ks and all this. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. I used to put headphones in and listen to preaching messages and go, and I forget how you know. And then all of a sudden you get somewhere, and you're like, I've never had good cardio, never. And you're looking at me, you're like, I could see that. Well. And so what will happen is, you know, you get there and you're like, I'm going to die. I mean, you're thinking, I'm going to pass out. There's been times I'm thinking, I'm going to pass out. I hope somebody will not run over me or come help me. You know what I mean? And so the athlete, when they're doing this, they're saying, you know what? I'm going to get through this. It hurts. I feel like I'm going to drop, you know, these people that do the bench press. They're like, man, I hope this thing, you know, can I get somebody to help me? Because this is probably going to kill me. You know, and they're okay, maybe it's just me. And so you're thinking this thing. You know what they know? I'm gonna be able to get through this pain and get through. That's how they become better at what they're doing. And then the next time, they're able to do a little bit more and a little bit more. And this is the kind of thing. No believer. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying this pretty dogmatic. I believe this is what it's saying. No believer will mature without the trying of their faith. That's the bad news. It is the bad news. You and I will not mature without being tried. The immature believer has the character of impatience. They will not want to wait on the Lord. They will not want to accept anything but their own way. They will not endure. They will stray from the purpose and their loyalty to Christ and His Word when the battle comes. By the way, the battle isn't this huge, oh, when this thing comes down from the government. No, I'm not talking about that kind of battle. I'm talking about, you know, my toast burnt. And I'm running out of time. And I got to get to work and my toast burnt. Now what am I going to do? You're like, that doesn't sound like a battle. When you're hungry, it is. You know, I mean, so the battle isn't always huge. Sometimes it's a small thing. And by the way, sometimes I've seen people just lose their mind over some of the smallest things. And later on, they want to talk about their love of Jesus, and how they live for Him. Thinking, wow. So the unbeliever has that kind of thing. And so when the battle comes, they will sway from the purpose. They'll be swerved from the purpose and loyal to Christ. And the challenge ensues. And his way isn't chosen. I mean, it's just this is the role of the immature, impatient believer when the trial comes. But the maturing believer will embody patience. Listen, when you say phrases like this, and you've said it, maybe you've heard it said, I'm just not very patient, right? I'd say, don't raise your hand, but just in your mind, say, yeah. I've heard people say, I'm just not very patient as an excuse for bad behavior. You know, what you're saying really, though, and I want this to be kind of running through our minds, that what we're saying is, I'm still an immature believer. Not that I lack this thing, right? I'm just not as good as that as the pastor is, you know? This guy over here, he's so patient. No, he's sleeping. You know, shy people get a real benefit. Shy people get this benefit of, wow, they are so mature. No, they just don't speak. The rest of us let folks know what's on our mind. You're like, man, that guy's, you know, something's wrong with him. You know what I'm saying? This thing. But listen, when I say I'm just not very patient, we're making an excuse. And what we're really saying is I'm an immature believer. I know that maybe that hurts a little bit. But listen, God is still working on me, right? I'm not there yet, but he's still working on me. That working is by trying my faith, right? That I might develop patience, that I might be perfected by it. So, what if you're like me and at times you'll say, I'm not too good at this, right? How am I going to be able to follow, to trust and to wait on the Lord? You know, some say, I'm just not good at this. How do I get through that? Well, there's an answer for that. And that's verse 5. He says this, and if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So it's number 4 then is the source of wisdom. So this life in Christ is not developed through self-improvement. There is not enough leaves to turn over, right? There's not enough leaves to turn over to be able to straighten out our life. The problem with turning over a new leaf is that leaf turns over again, right? And it just keeps it. I'll just do it again. I've seen people. We used to run a youth camp, and these kids would come. We'd have about 5, 6, 7 churches that would come, and they'd come, and these kids, sometime during the week they'd come and they'd pray and they'd make decisions. They'd come to the altar, and man, it was a great thing. And then the next year we'd have it, and it was all the same kids doing it again. I'm this decision I made last year, I didn't do it. I'm going to do it again. The next year they do. I thought, something's not right here. No, it took me a few years. I'm a quick learner. And I thought, you know, what's happening is often what we want to do is just try better to better ourselves. But you know what? The best version of me still ain't very good. You know? So God's plan isn't to do that. This isn't a process of getting better. It's a process of letting go. What I mean by that is letting go of this world's wisdom. We get so... Our first kind of go-to is me rationalizing, me thinking through how can I work myself through this difficulty. Right? This problem comes. You know, sometimes our first request, God, remove it from me. And I'm okay with that. I'm the same. We're all there. God, remove this from me. This trouble came. God, would you get me right out of it? And when we get right out of it, we're like, praise the Lord. And sometimes God does that for us, and that's all right. You know, I think sometimes the reason God gets us right through it, we weren't ready for that thing. There's other times it kind of sticks around a little bit, and we're trying to figure this out. Sometimes it's financial. We're trying to figure out. I can remember I went, we were at a place in our life with the Bible college. We were trying to do something. I got out of the Air Force, went to Bible college. I'm sitting here. We got in a place. We didn't have no money. I didn't even know about credit cards. You know, I just didn't. My life wasn't like that. And I thought, man, I'm not. I found there was a place I could go give plasma, go get blood or plasma. I don't know what it was. They took this thing and they took blood. I put it back in. It's called. It must have been plasma. I thought, man, that was. But they gave me like $40. So I went and bought some groceries, came home. I thought, well, I figured out a way to, get through this. And I went, and I told my wife, I said, I could do this like every 3 days or something. So I went back again the next time. I went there and said, yeah, I'm ready to go give blood again and this. And they had me sitting there and they said, hey, on your document, you said you were in England in the 90s. We can't take your blood anymore. I thought, part of me was like, I thought, all right, Lord. Good one. I thought I was going to muscle myself through. Right? And, sometimes, and, I'm guilty of it, but sometimes the first thing I want to do is, how can I get out of this? How can I get me out of this? But this isn't a process of getting better. I mean, letting go of the world's wisdom, letting go of you ever seen somebody come in, man, if they get saved, they'd be a good Christian. Right? You ever thought, if they just get saved, they'd be a great Christian. Now it doesn't really work like that. Being a great Christian is about following the Lord. It's not about what we had in that life before Christ. So true wisdom only comes from God. Amen? Y'all amen around? Is that something y'all do here? Is that okay? Y'all amen? Sometimes if people look at me and they don't, I'm thinking, okay, they either didn't really hear that or they didn't understand. So I get louder and say it again. And so if you're like, quick, move on, just amen, nod your head. Everybody's not an amener. I get that. But everybody can be a nodder, something. And so anyhow, so true wisdom comes from God. Here's the good news. The good news is that He wants to give it to us. Amen. Isn't that exciting? God has wisdom, and He wants to give it to us. And not only that, He wants to give it to us liberally. It's the only place we want to be liberal. Right? The only place, because it's in the Bible, God gives it liberally. God is a liberal. Well, in His giving. Okay, let me get. Can we strike that from the record? Back to, okay. So what I'm saying here is that God has it. He wants to give it to you, and He wants to give you a lot of it. He wants to give you as much as we need. And so as these temptations and the trying of your faith come, and it can be challenging. It can be difficult. It can be confusing. You ever said, why, God? We do that. I wish there was a thing I could just say to say, don't ever ask God why. Because there isn't anything that'll do that. I mean, can you imagine Job sitting there? Job didn't do great through Job. You know what I'm saying? Through the book of Job, he didn't do great. But he was maybe one of the greatest believers at the beginning, struggled through some things. And I mean, I'd like to say, well, just if you ever struggle with God doing something, just think about Job. It really doesn't work, though, does it? It's not enough to say, well, if he did it, I can do it. The greatest believer at the time did it, so I probably, It does get confusing. What's going on, God? What are you doing? You're in the hospital for a while and try this and the financial trouble. God, how am I supposed to do it? And how am I supposed to get through this? And sometimes it's somebody in your life and what they're going through and your heart so aches for them that you can't even think straight. Do you know what I'm saying? You ever lost sleep over somebody else's problems? You know what I mean? Man, I hate that. So we should just, you should just trust God. Well, Why? What it is? It's the wire. Sorry. Okay, now I figured it out. I feel less bad. Okay. Sometimes it frustrates me is when people, I'm sitting there asking God, I'm confused. And someone says, you just need to trust God. I'm thinking, well, thanks for that. I didn't realize that. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure it out. What do you want me to do, God? He said, listen, the answer is really just this, to seek God for the answer. Trust Him. Watch this. trust Him with what He's doing. Trust Him with what He's doing in your life. You know, we should see and know that He is allowing this thing for your perfecting. This is the part that the Scripture says there, knowing this. That's really, when we know what's happening, I'm telling you, it changes. It really does. When a trial comes and it's difficult, first thing we always want out. I mean, that's normal, right? You know, something's wrong with somebody that says, you know, there's a fire in there. I think I'm going to go in there. Well, no, everybody's out of the building. I just want to go check it out. You'd say, you're deranged, right? That's derangement. But when the fire comes into our life and we're trying to find a way out, and we're saying, God, I don't understand this. What's going on? And God said, we say, God, what do I do? How am I supposed to navigate this trial? Trust Him. Trust what He's doing. We should see and know that He is allowing this for our perfecting. And so maybe you say, you know, I don't think I really need perfecting. You know, I don't think I can ever be perfect. Right? Good, because you're not perfect. Right? But He's working to get you closer to there. Well, you know, I've went through a lot of stuff. I think I've really counted. No, you haven't. You've not gone through enough. You know, when you go through enough is when you die. You've gone through enough. You're done. There's no more trials after you die, unless you ain't saved. Then it's a life of trial, right? With no victory. So, maturing in Christ is a wonderful thing. Maturing in Christ is working to get you closer to that place. And listen, it's far beyond what you could ever imagine or think. Every time I think, man, this is great. You know, I'm learning God. You know, I just feel like I'm close to God. And then God takes me through something. And I lean on Him a little bit more and trust Him a little bit more and endure that and see Him take me through that thing. And then I'm over here, I'm thinking, wow, this is great. I can't imagine being back there. And then you know what happens? He does that again. You know what the problem is? A lot of people, they're actually way over here and they say, this is pretty good. I come every Sunday morning. Man, I just love church. I come that morning, you know, and then I do other things the rest of the week. But man, it's a great service. It just blesses my heart, right? And there's so much more. And God wants to do that in our life. And so this is the way. And so, listen, so this, really, ask God for wisdom. But notice here in verse 6. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Listen, here's the thing. Number 5 is unwavering faith. Faith here is about trusting God's will. About trusting God's will. His will is so far, it's so high, it's so above my understanding that it can seem unlikely at times and even improbable what God is doing. How can God get me through this thing? Trusting God really isn't about me understanding God at all. A fellow said to me once, I said, I just don't understand God. That's like saying, why doesn't my newborn understand the you know, trigonometry? You know, I don't even know how to say the word. You know, I mean, you know, why don't they understand? You know, I'm trying to tell them you need to get up and go. You know, why don't they understand? That's kind of what us trying to say. I'm going to understand God. God is so far above us. Yes, we're able to understand His word, but we don't always understand what He's doing. God's will can be known through His word, but how He comes to that in my life is not always clear to me. What God's doing, I don't always know, but that's why we have to ask Him. We have to ask for His wisdom, really in this way though, in faith, accepting His answer, You ever ask God for something and He didn't really give it to you, and so you thought, I'm going to go to option two? Or you say, God, open a door for me, and God opens the door. Hey, listen, I really like to serve in the church. And somebody, and the pastor said, you know, we do have a place. We have a place for you, and it's taking out the trash, and cleaning out the trash cans, or digging through the ditch back there and clean. You're like, wow, thank you, pastor, right? No, it's like, is there something else? I was thinking more of like, teaching. I was thinking more of like, getting to stay clean, right? And so sometimes when God gives us that thing, that answer, we actually want to look for door number two. So this is the thing, when we come, we accept His answer. And really it's this, when we come to Him wavering, it really means to try His answer. I'm going to check that out. Like I'm going to go determine if I will accept God's direction after I seek His wisdom. So God, what shall I do? And God gives you some direction, opens some door, whatever the thing may be. And you think, well, I'm not really sure I like that, though. It's not really what I was hoping or wanting. And so, listen, when I come to God like that, I end up being like a wave in the ocean, tossed around by whatever wind blows. And the wave, the water doesn't get to decide which way it flows. It flows whichever way it's being pushed. What a mess. What a mess when it happens in our life like that. We end up swinging back and forth trying to determine if we'll continue for the Lord. Man, I want to do, yeah, I need His help, but man, I'm really struggling, but I don't do that. So we just, and somebody else says something we like, we do that, we end up, it's just a mess. When we come to God like that, we get nothing. Look at verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So here's the conclusion. This is a passage that starts in joy, but it can end in emptiness. God wants to do something in our lives that will cause us to be less like us and to be more like Him. But it's going to hurt a little bit. Yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. Because that's the only way we're able to get this incredibly needful patience. So in the midst of this trial, when we don't understand, God says, come ask me. Come ask me. And when we will trust, it is wonderful. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's wonderful. When we don't trust, our life is a mess. So, trust me, I've been on both sides of this thing. When I trusted Him and when I didn't. When I liked His answer and accepted it. And when I looked for door two, right? God wants to work a work in you that will be wonderful in your life. And that's what Paul understood when he was telling this to, James here. When the Lord had James give this to us. He understood that when I go through this, it brings joy. Of course, we see that with Jesus and Paul and all throughout. We find this, they understood this, that God wants to work a work in my life that's going to be wonderful. It's going to bring joy. And it brought joy because they understood it. So, what about you? If anybody that's going through a trial, I mean, somebody else, not us here. But there's other people that are going through trials. And, maybe sometimes it's us. Something's going on. And when we know what James here said he knew, it brought joy. Father, I pray that You would help us to lean upon You. And Lord, that as these trials, these difficulties, these challenges come our way, and they will, if we're saved today, Lord, You're going to bring these things in our life because You love us. And You want to bring us closer to You. Lord, You do a great work. And that's so much we see, Lord, throughout the Bible, throughout the New Testament. We find this situation that they were excited. Excited. Great joy coming when a trial came. Seems so crazy. Yet, Lord, when we know where it leads, we can rejoice as the trial is going on. Lord, I pray this could help us to understand these thoughts and receive it and hold it close to our heart. Lord, we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.